The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me? And they do not believe I exist." Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how there as well. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org, or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to look at Yah's calendar for 2024, and then we'll continue with Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 7. Overview of the broadcast. We'll look at... We'll start looking at Yah's calendar for 2024. We'll then continue to look at Where Will You Spend Eternity, with particular emphasis on some challenging passages from the final quest. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is based on the article 2024-0206, Yah's calendar for 2024, Please Diarize. Every year I publish Yah's calendar, the dates of this year that are important to the Creator, so that you can observe the special Sabbaths that He has ordained for us. Father's calendar is based on the lunar cycles and therefore does not correlate directly with the world's calendar. I encourage you to take these Sabbaths seriously and observe them strictly, if your relationship with Father means anything to you. These are all high Sabbaths. In other words, you observe them as you would the Saturday Sabbath, but more strictly and with more discipline regarding worship, etc. See the article 2022-0301, the essence of my message regarding Sabbath observance, which is on the website. So, folks, first thing to understand is that originally the earth was a perfect sphere. The surface of the earth was uniform. There were exactly 360 days in a year. There were exactly 12 moon cycles in a year. Then along came a flood, an ice comet from the Kuiper Belt, rammed into the planet, knocked the planet off its axis, deflected it in its orbit around the sun, and caused the Earth to split open. The consequence of that was that we moved to 365 and a quarter and a few decimals days per year and roughly 13 moon cycles, well, 12 and some number of days of moon cycles per year. The result that these days, which are based on the lunar calendar, fluctuate from year to year, which is, I rely on a resource in South Africa, Kodesh Books, who do a special study to get the dates right, and I trust that they are the right dates Father has shown me. So we'll go on and talk a little bit more about this now. So I take the dates from the calendar published by Kodesh Books, which I regard as a reliable source. Visit www.kodesh.co.za. That's Q-O-D-E-S-H.co.za. Kodesh meaning set apart, holy. All Sabbaths are from sunrise to sunrise, except Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is sunset to sunset. I can't tell you why Yom Kippur is the exception. It just is, and I just take it that way. The key thing here is these dates that I'm going to share with you, these days that I'm going to share with you, are very important in Yah's calendar. Generally, if he's going to do anything significant on the earth, he will do it on one of these days or associated with one of these days. And that's important to understand. And he does that in people's lives as well. I've had significant things happen on some of these key dates. Doesn't mean that he can't do things the rest of the year. The main thing here is they're important. If you really care about serving Yah, you will strictly observe these six high Sabbaths. And by strictly observe, I mean no commercial work, no housework, no shopping, none of the things that you can do the rest of the week. So, you know, you've got Sunday to do the shopping, etc. You shouldn't be doing that on the Saturday, and so on and so forth. So the reward that Yeshua received was so great. So I'm going to carry on now and talk about the individual days. The first one in the annual cycle, it's the first according to the worldly calendar, and it's the first according to Yah's calendar. Now Yah's new year begins 2 weeks before Passover, the beginning of the month of Abib. But I'm not going to talk about that. The first time, the first feast is Pesach, P-E-S-A-C-H, commonly called in English Passover. This year it's Monday the 25th of March 2024, so from sunrise Monday 25th to sunrise Tuesday 26th. Its significance is it was the day before the slaying of the firstborn of Egypt and the flight of Israel from Egypt. And it's also the day after Yeshua died. See the webpage about Pesach, Passover, and Yeshua for more information. But fundamentally, what happened there? Yah told Moses to tell the people to slaughter a lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost and the lintels of their house, and then to roast the lamb and eat it under specific conditions. Yeshua celebrated that feast with his followers, and the next morning he was betrayed and executed. So it's a really important day to observe with very considerable respect. Recognize, remember the offering, the sacrifice that Yeshua made. Give thanks for that. Take the bread and wine, communion, you might call it, the holy sacraments, other people call it. Then Shavuot, Pentecost. This year, Sunday the 19th of May, that is the date that Yah came down on Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. It's also the day on which the set-apart spirit was given to the followers of Yeshua in the upper room after Yeshua had ascended up into heaven. See the webpage Shavuot Pentecost for more information. So generally, a father is going to do something that involves pouring out his spirit on some individual or some group of people, he's particularly inclined to do that at Shavuot. If you're not spirit-filled, you don't have to wait to Shavuot. You can ask him right now, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your spirit. I ask you to come and dwell in me. Now, that's a step beyond. The first step is just to believe in Yah. So, Father, I believe that you exist. Please accept me as your child. The next step, which can follow immediately or sometime in the future, if you didn't do that in the first place, is what I've just said. Father, I ask you to bring yours, come and dwell in me with your set apart spirit. Make me yours. Fill me with your spirit. Lead me and guide me. Help me to be your servant. Help me to be your son or your daughter or your child. So important. If you really are committed to serving Father, you need to be filled with his spirit. And you need to observe Shavuot as a very important set-apart day that you spend worshipping and serving Yah. Then Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, another High Sabbath. This year it's Thursday the 5th of September. You should sound the ram's horn trumpet, a shofar. If you don't have a shofar, it's not the end of the world. You can purchase a shofar on Amazon, or you certainly could when I bought mine. And then there's more about Yom Teruah on the, if you look at the commandments page on the website, under that, Chesed, love the Almighty, keep Sabbaths, Yom Teruah, trumpets. So ideally you blow the trumpet, which can be a bit disruptive for your neighbors. So don't blow it for very long. As I say, you can order a ram's horn trumpet from Amazon or us. I can't say for sure you can today, but certainly I got one about six years ago. So trumpets is a day of rejoicing. It's a day of shouting. It's a day of tearing down strongholds and really just celebrating Yah. It's a feast, and it's time to draw close to him. As all these days are time to draw close to him. There's a lot less written about Yom Teruah than there is about the other days. And I've never really researched it in a lot of detail, but what I do is I observe it as a strict Sabbath. I take leave from work. I don't work on those days. I put them in my calendar right at the beginning of the year. So when I put together the email on which this presentation is based, I put those dates in my calendar, and I'm scrupulous about it, not making customer appointments, client appointments on those days. And you should be too. You should put it in your calendar, take leave if you're in salaried employment, and worship Yah. Then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the most set apart, the most holy day of the year. Friday the 13th of September this year. It goes from sunset on Saturday the 14th of September to sunset. It goes from sunset on Friday the 13th of September to sunset on Saturday the 14th of September. It's a water-only fast, so no food, no tea, no coffee, just plain water. At least a few glasses. It's the most set apart, holiest day of the year. Look at the page Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, for some more information. Having said that, when I fast, I take a small portion of matzos, unleavened bread, dried unleavened bread, and a portion of a glass of red grape juice, and I observe and I remember and rehearse the covenant of Yeshua. Based on what he said to those who followed him the night before he was betrayed. And I encourage you to do that, and in that you make a declaration of your commitment to Yah. You ask him for any specific and any special favors or grants that you may have to ask him. And generally you use it as a time of really dealing with your sin. That's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So one of the things that Yeshua did was to introduce a new offering for atonement. See the article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua to understand what I'm talking about. But basically, Yom Kippur is about dealing with all your sin, getting close to Father, afflicting yourself with fasting, and saying, Father, I want to get closer to you. I want to do your will. I repent of all the wrong that I've done, and all the things I've not done that I should have done. Then the next day of importance is the first day of Sukkot, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This year it's Thursday, the 19th of September. It's a feast day. It's the day on which Yeshua was born. You should celebrate this instead of Christmas. So look at the article, True Birthday of Yeshua, for more information. Now, the thing here, folks, is that you should not be observing Christmas. Christmas is an abomination in the sight of Yah. It's when the whole world worships Satan. And you can say, but we worship Jesus and God and the Lord and what have you on Christmas. Folks, I have to say to you, back in 2000 when I went on 10 three-day fasts at 10-day intervals seeking truth, I learned about Christmas. I went to Father and said, Father, is this important? Should we stop observing Christmas? He said, yes, it's an abomination to me. We sort of observed Christmas because we only asked at the last minute, and it was a mess. Never observed Christmas since then. Grieved by what I see in the world, people with Christmas trees, which are Asherah poles, all sorts of baubles and bangles which have demonic significance. That year that I just mentioned to you, we were sitting in the lounge on Christmas Day praying, and my young son said to me, Daddy, that troll is looking at me. And sure enough, there was a troll decoration on the Christmas tree, and there was a demon in it, and you could see the demon looking out through the eyes of the troll. We took the troll outside and we burnt it. We took the Christmas tree outside and we burnt it. And we never observe Christmas again. It's an abomination. It's Satan's high feast day. Christmas is the day when Satan laughs the hardest and the longest at Yah, because he's basically saying, see how even the people who claim to believe in you worship me on Christmas Day. You say, well, I don't worship him on Christmas. Folks, if you celebrate on Christmas Day, you are worshiping Satan. It's as brutal as that. If you think it's important to remember the birth of Yeshua, then do that on the first day of Sukkot, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Have a feast like you would have at Christmas, so you can have roast turkey and whatever and whatever and whatever and whatever. You can give gifts. Don't have a tree, please. It's an Asherah. It's an abomination in the sight of Yah. And you can really do all the good things that you might have done on Christmas Day, you can do on the first day of Sukkot. Then the last of the high Sabbath, the great day of Sukkot, the great or the eighth day, the feast of Tabernacles. This year it's Thursday, the 26th of September. It's a great feast. This is the day that Yeshua was circumcised. See the article on the website, the webpage, Overcoming Christmas, Observing Tabernacles, for more information. Folks, if you don't have a big party on the first day, then definitely have a big party on the eighth day. Sukkot remembers how for 40 years the Israelites lived in the wilderness, sustained with the manna from heaven by Yah. It's a time to rejoice in your love of Yah, if you love Yah, of course. It's a day to celebrate your belief. It's a day to celebrate whatever Yah has done in your life in the past year. It's a bit of a harvest festival in a way, so you can also integrate that sort of thinking in that. give thanks for everything that you've earned and received during the year. So it should be the greatest feast of the year, in the same way that Yom Kippur should be the greatest fast of the year. So in conclusion, I urge you to book those dates. Please diarize the dates and book leave from work now. It's really important to observe these Sabbaths. I strongly recommend that where these days occur on a business day, that you book annual leave for each date. I would suggest you do that right now for the whole year. It's only 6 days, and several of them this year are over weekends. Please feel free to email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org if you have questions or comments. Go to the website. There's a lot of material there. So I want to carry on and continue to look at 2024-01-03, Where Will You Spend Eternity, with commentary on the final quest, part 7. So I'm just picking up where I left off last week. I'm juxtaposing going through this entire ebook with other things which seem timeous and relevant at this stage. So we're talking about important prayers. Another very important prayer based on Galatians 2:20. Father, please let me be put to death with Yeshua. Nevertheless, let me live, yet not I, but let the anointing of your set-apart spirit live in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, let me live by the faith of Yeshua, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my adaptation based on the King James Version. That's a prayer that I've prayed in the past. Galatians 2:20 reads, I'm put to death, incorrectly crucified, with the anointed one, incorrectly Christ, referring to Yeshua. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, incorrectly Christ, not Yeshua, liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Yah, who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, an aside there. Father's name is Yah, elaborated as Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, which is often transliterated as Yahweh, or more correctly, Yahweh. He's not God. He's not the Lord. There was grace for those names in the past, but they're pagan names. It's an insult to call him the Lord or God. Lord, capital letters. The word translated Lord is actually Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. And then Yeshua is not Jesus. Again, there was grace for Jesus, but that's gone long past. It's an insult to call him Jesus. It means blessed by Zeus. Zeus is a demonic god. So, Father, please let me be put to death with Yeshua. Nevertheless, let me live, yet not I, but let the anointing of your set-apart spirit live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, let me live by the faith of Yeshua, who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't have to pray exactly that. Take Galatians 2:20 and adapt it as you see fit. It's a very powerful prayer. And it should be prayed with caution. Only pray this prayer if you're really committed and you're in a stable relationship. The above prayer can literally kill you in time if you pray it regularly and then get into sin, join yourself to someone sexually who's not anointed, get into fear, depression, anger, etc. And then, in addition to that, pray whatever the Spirit of the Almighty leads you to pray. So what I would share with you, back in 2010, some things happened. I missed it on a couple of key things. I decided to go on 7 3-day fasts at weekly intervals, which I've done 7 times in the last 30 years, or last 20 years, actually, and which is a really important way of cleaning up your act and getting close to Father. That's 3 days, water only, plus a small amount of bread and wine, morning and evening, declaration of what you're committing the fast to. And then just go about your daily life, spend as much time worshiping, etc., as you can, seeking truth. And so for 7 weeks, I prayed morning and evening and took communion. Father, put me to death with Yeshua, the prayer that I've just shared with you. It worked. I could hear Father much more clearly. Problem was, I was single at the time. I subsequently married a woman who, for various reasons, didn't fully agree with me. At a point, she betrayed me. The spiritual torment and tension and trauma that I experienced as a consequence of that tore me apart. I lost my anointing and I very nearly died because I was dead with Yeshua, and it was the Spirit of Yah, the anointing, that was holding me together. Since then, it's happened a couple more times. In various ways, I'm not going to go into that. And each time I've nearly died, pulled back from the brink. Today I battle with tiredness. I don't have a lot of energy. I just soldier on. So don't pray that prayer until you are in a union with somebody who is really going to back you up in it and understands the significance of getting into strife and fear, etc., with you. If you don't have such a partner and you're single, then you need to decide that you're going to remain single. If you're not going to remain single, don't do it. Wait until you have a life partner that you trust, that you can rely on to back you up absolutely to the full, not to betray you, not to get into fear, not to get into anger. It's heavy stuff, folks. If you really, really want to serve Father deeply, these are things you can do. This is not for anyone who just sort of feels like a bit of a prayer or something. This is for somebody who's saying, you know what, Father, I want to get so close to you that I stop making stupid mistakes. I want to get so close to you that I have the ability to minister to people in a powerful way. And then do whatever the Spirit of the Almighty leads you to do, no matter how uncomfortable, how unconventional, how much you don't want to do it, how much it offends you or hurts you or upsets your friends or your family or your wife or whatever. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, or faith more accurately, emuna in Hebrew. As I said, this is for people who are taking this thing very seriously. This is for somebody who's doing regular fasts and really, really, really wants to get close to Father. Then moving on, Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yah, the eternally self-existing, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. There's so much we don't even begin to understand in terms of what we're talking about here, folks. But it's pretty fundamental. If you're serious about Yah, if you desire to be in a place of esteem in heaven for eternity, then you need to trust in Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. There's a commandment: love Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It doesn't leave space to love Jesus or anyone else or your pastor. You can chesed them, treat them with respect, covenant love, but true, deep chesed love should be reserved for Yah. Yes, There's a different sort of love between man and wife. There's a different sort of love between family members and so on. But the fundamental truth is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So we can't figure this out in our own understanding or based on what we see with our natural minds. We can only accomplish anything of worth in this life if we choose to be totally led by the Spirit of the Almighty and do the best we can each day to hear His voice, be led by His Spirit to seek His guiding hand, etc. If you are a person who truly believes that Yah is important, that Yeshua is important, then I have to say to you that both Yah and Yeshua expect you to make a real effort to get close to them and to do what they want you to do in this life. And that probably means that you're going to have some full-time employment to pay the bills, and then you're going to have your ministry on top of that. If you're willing to go out by emunah, by faith, and trust Yah to provide for you, and just go out and start telling the world about Yah, by all means do it. Just understand it's up to you, it's up to your emunah, your faith, whether you succeed or not. The more we can come to a realization that we do no good thing in our own strength, the more we're likely to please Him and come to close relationship with Him. Consider Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There's much more that could be written about this topic, but I'm hoping that I'm giving you some sort of indication. So there's also a piece that we're not glove puppets. There's an article on the website about the biggest error that's affecting committed believers. We have to exercise our will. We have to exercise our minds. Father didn't give us to be little puppets that do what He does. He's not oppressive in that sense. He wants us to be led by His Spirit in terms of the way we live our lives and our obedience to Him and His commandments, etc. But He also wants us to exercise our will in terms of our service to Him. It's an act of the will to say, I will worship Yah alone. It's an act of the will to say, I repent of worshiping Jesus. I repent of worshiping the Bible. I repent, I repent, I repent, I repent. All of that is an act of the will. The Spirit of Yah will help you to do that. But at the end of the day, you have to make the choices. In the same way, if you are stuck in God and the Lord and Christ and Jesus, and you saying, well, brother, tell me, where's the scripture? The Bible is full of gross translation errors. It is not the Lord in capital letters. It is Yah, the eternally self-existing. The translation is corrupt. It's not God. It's the Almighty stroke Mighty One, depending on context. The translation is a mess. It's not Christ. It's the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on the person, or it's one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, again, depending on context. If you are going around with Jesus, God, and the Lord, you're in a bad place. When you die, if you go to heaven, you're going to find yourself in front of the judgment seat, and Father is going to send you to hell to get your tongue cleaned up for all the profanities that you speak out using those names. So moving on, some challenging passages from the final quest. insofar as many do not consider the book the final, and this was written in 2003, remember, insofar as many do not consider the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner to have the same authority as the text from the Bible cited above, it was considered appropriate to cite passages from The Final Quest in a separate section. And then in January this year, I wrote a commentary on that and said, since writing the above, I've concluded that The Final Quest, while it contains errors, is of comparable value to the Bible and should be read and engaged with by all the believers. When I was still reading the Bible, I used to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, or Bereshith to Revelation, and then I used to read The Final Quest and The Call. If you've not read The Final Quest, I encourage you to do so. I have doctrinal concerns with regard to certain passages in The Final Quest and The Call, but the writer has been told by the Almighty that much of what is presented in The Final Quest is based on information given by the Almighty in a series of visions. The Final Quest is therefore a valid and a valuable resource from which we can prayerfully increase our understanding of the kingdom of the Almighty, his way of doing things, and what still is to come, particularly the day of judgment. In the text that follows, various quotes and summaries from The Final Quest are presented. I'll deal with this next week, in support of the overall thesis of this article. All quotations and references are from the 1996 printing by Whitaker House, 30 Hunt Valley Circle, New Kensington, Pennsylvania, 15068, ISBN 0-88368-478-0. The book is available in many bookstores and over the internet, including at Eagle Star Ministries, the Ministry of Rick Joyner at www.eaglestar.org, and at amazon.com. It's also available on the website, on the End Time Issue website. There's a scanned copy of my copy of The Final Quest with all my scribbles and notes and highlights and emphasis, underlines, etc. in it. It's available as James Robertson notes on the ETI Bible version section of the website. Go to the ETI Bible version webpage, and under that you'll find a whole selection of pages, including The Final Quest. And on The Final Quest page, you will find a link to the scanned version of my copy of the book. So that The Final Quest is also published on the website in PDF format and .docx, Microsoft Word format, so that you can actually take it down and make your own notes. There's also a copy with the same text, the original text, which I've annotated. I've corrected words like Jesus with Yeshua, with God, with the Almighty, the Lord, with Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and so forth. And I've put commentary on what I think is important, because there's a lot of metaphor, there's a lot of symbolic content in the book. For example, shooting arrows, where the arrows are actually words, and that's not directly evident. You've got to figure that out. So I've explained all of those things. And I've put in sentence numbering so that you can send somebody a reference to The Final Quest and cite sections, number, verse number. So it's all there on the website. Now, I want to stress to you folks, the only reason we exist is because Father was lonely and he spent a huge amount of time and effort to create this entire universe, to create this solar system, to create this planet Earth, to create the plants and the animals so that it was a pleasant place to live. And then he created us. the only reason he created us was because he wanted people to talk to and work with him and invent things with him and do things with him. So I have to say to you, why are you not doing that? What are you doing with all of your life if you are not actively seeking to hear Father, to speak to Father, to see what he sees, to feel what he feels, to pray his will on earth, to get close to him, to get free of sin, to strive for a high throne for eternity? You're missing the entire point of what you're doing on this planet. I can't stress that enough. There is only one reason why you, who are listening to me right now, not the person on either side of you, behind you, above you, whatever, has to say, not your pastor or your priest or your imam or your rabbi or whatever. Forget all of that. Seek a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. That's what this life is all about. I urge you to go for it now. Email me, I'll help you. So I want to end off by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? And by every opportunity, let me give you an example. I have a little sound system that sits on the desk next to me with a memory stick, a USB stick in it, with about 40 worship songs that are acceptable. You can get them off the website. Just look for worship. And I play that whenever I am not on a phone call or a Teams call or a Zoom call, all the time in the background. And then I have a little MP3 player, a little thing about that size that fits in my top pocket with some earbuds. And when I'm on the train or the bus or just walking or whatever, or at a client's offices, I pop the earbuds in and I listen to worship songs and I worship him. Do you worship him at every opportunity? If not, you are missing an opportunity to get close to him. Do you count him as your friend? He wants to be your friend. Do you know him as your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? I venture to suggest no, you haven't, because there are very few people on the planet today who have reached that status. If you're not doing all these things, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I urge you today, Father, I come to you and I ask you to help me to become your friend. Take me by the hand, lead me, show me what to read, show me what to do, show me who to speak to, open the doors you want open, close the doors you want closed. Help me to become your friend. Take you a few years of hard work, some heavy fasting, etc., but it's available to you. There's an article on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close, that tells you how. And there are various other articles about the anointing, etc. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can help. I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey, or by email. I said email. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I'm going to bring this to an end for those of you who've been with me before. For those of you who knew, or only you listened once or twice, I'll share some more information after this. So just to wrap up, folks, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you are African or Asian or European or American or Indian or Caucasian or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Christian or a Jew or a Satanist or a demon worshiper. Father Yah wants you to become his friend. He will help you clean up all the mess, get rid of all your wrong thinking, and get you aligned with him and help you to get close to him. Just pray the prayer that I gave you a couple of minutes ago and get close to him. For those of you who are moving on, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to being with you next Friday. And for those of you who are new, please stay on and we'll just share a few other things. So who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is at the ETI Bible version. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There's at least 4 podcast websites that have the back issues. And also look at the transcripts and the recordings on the transcripts of broadcast page near the top of the website. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are at the Books for Printing page near the top of the website. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you here next week. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you whether you are going to observe the 6 most set apart, most holy Sabbaths in the year. Pesach or Passover, Shavuot or Pentecost, Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the first day and the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. Are you going to keep them? Do you know what they are? Do you know why they're important? Are you a believer? If you can't strongly answer yes to all of that, then I suggest you listen to my broadcast on w4cy.com or talk4tv.com. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Go forward and worship Yah with your time. Thank you so much. Goodbye.